Good Shepherd Sermon, Easter Sunday, March 31st, 2024, Pastor Paul Talberg. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make Him known to others so they too might share in the joy Jesus won for them. Here's Pastor.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
That's how the early church greeted each other every time they worshiped. They reminded themselves of the same thing again and again and again, that He's alive. Later on, you'll see a little reason why that table's up there and why there's a bag over it and why there's a box on that table. It has to do with this Bible reading. Bible reading is from Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they could go and anoint Jesus. I want you to see that they were going to do something. They expected that Jesus would be dead. It was a rush funeral. Not like what happened a couple years ago with COVID when people had a rush funeral. No, this was a rush funeral of an executed prisoner of the Roman government that they had a quick take down from the cross and put into somebody else's tomb because he was not wealthy enough to own a tomb. They were not expecting to see Jesus risen from the dead. They had no hope that they would see him again. They were in tears. We can't even imagine what they were like. No hope. Jesus had died. They had seen it on the cross. But they loved Jesus, and they remembered some things. And so early in the morning, they wanted to finish showing honor and respect to this person that they really loved. They couldn't finish preparing the body as they did back then, so they wanted to do it, finish up early in the morning. But they were not expecting him to be there, alive. Very early on the first day of the week at sunrise, they went to the tomb. You know, we don't always trust the Lord's promises. Sometimes what happens is we go on habit. We go on things that we know we should do, and that's how they were. They're going to show honor to the Lord who had done so much, had healed them, thrown out 7 demons who had taken over Mary's body. He had healed thousands, fed thousands. They were saying to each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb for us?" Not only did they come with low expectations of finding Jesus because he was dead, but they hadn't thought it through. They were so emotionally distraught. They didn't think, "Oh my goodness, this has got a seal, a Roman seal on the tomb. We can't just go in there. And it's so big. What are we going to do?" It says, when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which is very large, had been rolled away. So apparently it happened like this. They're going along, and they're kind of sad, and their heads were down, and then they get closer to the tomb, and they look up, and the stone's rolled away. I want you to think about what they're thinking. We're not told what they're thinking, but we know what they would be thinking, right? They're expecting a dead body. All of a sudden, the tomb has been opened. What in the world is going on? As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Alarmed. You and I think that, well, that's enough right there to turn the world upside down, but that does not turn the world upside down. They're shocked. They're amazed. You and I would be shocked and amazed if an angel would suddenly appear here in all bright and glory and we had to put on our sunglasses because it's too bright to look at. It's even scarier for these women in a tomb where they're expecting nobody to be alive. This angel suddenly appears. They were alarmed. The word used here is used very rarely in the Bible. And it's used only when there's something monumental that God's revealing. It's used on the day when Jesus was transfigured. When Jesus was transfigured and he came down and the crowds were amazed and they rushed to him and he came just in the nick of time. He healed a boy. And then the other time is when, they were amazed and here it is. What's going on? So, what is going on? He says, an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven, came back, rolled the stone from the door. The angel said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Why is there not to be afraid? They were trembling. The word, I wish I could explain this to you. It's a hard word to explain. It's like when you are really shocked and you lose all your bearings. Well, the first time was when they see Jesus and he's coming to heal that boy. Another time is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he is praying. And we're told that he was so troubled, he was praying earnestly and he was very, very distressed. That's the same word that's used here. Jesus' world was turning upside down because our sins were being placed on him. Not just the sins of everyone in this room. That would be more than enough to crush me. But the sins of every person who's ever been, from Adam and Eve to the very last person born. It was so bad that Jesus said, Father, there's another way, do the other way. But there wasn't. So that's the second time this word was used. And now this time, where he says, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Don't be alarmed. I love that. It's kind of like today saying, don't be alarmed. You're looking in the wrong place. This is a place for dead people. A tomb is for dead people. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. Yes, he was crucified. In fact, he says, look at where he was laid. They could remember back to Friday. They had been there when Jesus had been put into the tomb. They were just overcome with sorrow, but they went there to see where he was. So the angel says, see where he was. And then he says these words, but go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. The women were not expecting a resurrection, and the women were certainly not expecting a command from God's throne on heaven to be given to them. In our day and age, it bothers us that women are treated poorly. If you're a Christian man, it bothers you that men in our nation and across the world treat women so poorly. It's nothing compared to how it was at Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, if a woman was to give a witness, it was not counted in court because her witness was considered to be worthless. Why? Because she was a woman. He says, go and tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. The command is that they were to be witnesses. Oh, this is a new thing for them. This is a culture that they have never experienced. It says, tell his disciples and Peter. If you're a Christian and you're a thinking Christian, this should, first of all, shock you and then give you great comfort. It shocks you. Why? Because who were those disciples? And where were they when he died? We're told they all ran away. In fact, one of the followers had run away so quick, and a guy got a hold of him, and he tore off his clothes, and he's running away. He doesn't want to be caught with Jesus. At the cross, there's nobody there except for John and Mary and some of the women. And he says, go and tell his disciples. Why does he even tell them? When you and I are abandoned by friends in a time of need, what happens? We don't want to pay them any attention. Thank you very much. You didn't follow me. You weren't God. You didn't have my back. I'm not going to have your back. Not Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh. God wants people in heaven. So he says, go and tell my disciples. The angel says, go tell his disciples and Peter. Oh. If you are a believer and you get comfort from the fact that Jesus is reaching people who have kind of ignored him or turned their back on him, this is great comfort. But when he mentions Peter, that's a great comfort for people who maybe in a fit of arrogance turn their back on God and threw their fist up in his face and said, I don't care what you say, God. I'm going to do things my way. I like to how I run my life. Thank you. That's what Peter did. God warned him, don't go there. You're going to be betrayed. You're going to be saying you don't even know me. And Peter denied him three times. Why would God want anything to do with him? But he says, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. If you were privileged to be here on Maundy Thursday when Pastor John gave his sermon, reminding us that at the Lord's Supper, it's just you and Jesus. You heard Pastor John talk about a time when he's going to be taking Donna and I out for a Friday fish meal, right? Yeah. And then you heard also that, I found out Donna and I are going to be taking Carla and Pastor John out for a steak dinner, okay? Fine. And we're going to both wait to see how that plays out in real life. So using that same imagination, I want you to think of one of our confirmands. Her name is Hannah. And let's say I promised Hannah, she was the youngest person who helped to pick up pine cones. She picked up about 1 million pine cones on her own. And let's say I just come to Hannah and I say, you know, Hannah, I just think it's really neat that you've showed such love and respect for God's house and God's people, and you were able to do that. I'm going to give you $1 million on Monday. It's going to be in your bank account. And then on Tuesday, I'm going to give you $1,000. Hannah might look at me and say, okay, yeah. She's looked at my bank account. She probably knows I don't have $1 million. But let's say, just use your imagination. Let's say Hannah goes to her bank account on Monday morning and she sees $1 million. Ooh. He said he's going to have $1 million on Monday. I got $1 million. How awesome is that? What do you think about the second promise? Is she going to think, I'm not going to get $1,000 on Tuesday because I got $1 million on Monday? No, no, no. What's she going to think? She's going to think, if he kept that big promise, which is really hard to keep, I didn't see any way he could keep it. If he's going to keep that big promise, he can sure keep that $1,000 promise also. So on Tuesday morning, when she goes to the bank and she sees another $1,000 in there, she's going to say, huh, I knew that was coming. That's what happened on Easter, and that's what he is telling them. Jesus did the hard thing. He kept the hard promise. He raised himself back to life again. Our sins are paid. There's no more worry about being guilty in God's eyes. So when we come to him and we say, oh, Lord, I am so sorry. I blew it again. I'm not what you want me to be. Please forgive me. That's the $1,000 promise. And God says, hey, I did the big hard thing. I'll also take care of this. Be at peace. Go and sin no more. And that's what he does, day after day in the life of a Christian. I have up here a little thing for the children's devotion. If a children wants to be so brave as to come up, I want to share something with you. Okay? Your children, come up here if you want to come up for a children's devotion. I have to sit down here. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Have a seat. Yeah, have a seat. Yeah, yes. Good morning. Good morning. You want to sit down? Go sit down. Okay. I'm using this to kind of remind us of what a tomb was like. A tomb was a place where you put things, kind of like this box. You want to sit down? Want to sit down? Right there. There you go. Good, man. Good, good. So what happens is, a tomb was a place where they would put things. When someone died, they put their body there, and they'd wrap it all up, and they. Yeah. So what happens is, I'm gonna give this to you. Could you hang on to this, please? Thank you. And then, in Jesus' tomb, the Romans said, we want to make sure nobody takes his body. So, see this rubber band? It's kind of like what the Romans did. They put a little seal on the tomb that said, you're not supposed to take off this because otherwise you're going to be against what we're saying. He is dead. He's dead, dead, dead. And what had happened is God took it off. Now, what's going to happen next is what happens, what you heard all day today, how Jesus came back to life again. And What did they first see when they came to the tomb? Anyone remember what they saw? Yeah? Nothing. They saw nothing. And then while they're looking at nothing, what happens? What happens? Remember? Yeah. They get frightened. Why did they get scared? Why? Yeah, he came back. But how did they know that? He came back. What did they see in the tomb? The dark tomb. Yeah. Yeah, they saw angel. An angel appeared to him. He had a white robe on like this. And then what happened is the angel said, I got some good news, and it's very scary. Just so you know, what's going to happen next is scary. All right, ready? Don't panic. Don't be afraid. Here it comes. Ready? Whoa. Whoa. So in here is his tomb. It's empty. There's nothing in there. And then the angel said, these are like angels. Angel said, I want you to do something for me. Go and tell his disciples, Jesus has risen. He is not here. Jesus has risen. He is risen from the dead. Now, you're wondering, well, what in the world, how am I going to remember this? You're going to be getting something if you can remember something. All right, ready? I want you to say the words, Jesus is risen. Oh, a little louder than that. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed.
Say it again a little louder. Jesus is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed.
I want you to remember that. Because after church today, after everyone's all out of here, I have two helpers that are going to be in the place where they were eating breakfast before, way on the by the kitchen. And if you go up to them and you say, Jesus is risen, he is risen indeed, they're going to give you something. And what they're going to give you is not a flying butterfly, because these, after a while, they wear out and they break. They're going to give you a butterfly that you can take home, and at night, it still glows at night. So you can remember that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Can you say that again? Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. So let's fold our hands. Jesus, thank you so much for taking away all of my sins and for coming back to life again. You are great. You are powerful. And you love me. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And now you may go back to your seats. And what's the... Whoa, before you go, what's that word you're going to remember? Okay, and they are going to be listening. My two helpers are going to be listening to see if you say those words. So don't forget them, okay? But that's for after church. Thank you for it. Thank you. There are some times that you have to kind of wonder, do we for the little ones to go away? You might feel like you're the kids up here, you don't quite remember, what am I supposed to say? Am I going to remember long enough to get a little fun thing? You might be wondering, maybe is my face strong enough to make it from that age to when I take my last breath? You might be wondering, what about the doubts that I have? What about the weakness that I have? What about the fears that I have? At that time, remember Easter. These women did not have a strong faith. The women had forgotten that God had said again and again and again. Jesus said, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be dead, and on the third day, I'm going to come back to life again. He had told them. They had heard it with their own ears. They had forgotten. They were scared. They're overcome with sorrow. We don't have strength. So God says, all things are possible for the one who believes. Remember that time when the word that they were amazed came? The first time that happened was when that a boy was possessed by a demon, and that the dad fell at Jesus' feet. He falls down crying at Jesus' feet, saying, Jesus, if you can do anything, help me. My boy's got a demon possessing him, trying to kill him. And what does Jesus do? He says, what do you mean, if I can? Everything's possible for the one who believes. We've all been where that dad was. You know what the dad said? He said, Lord, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And Jesus healed his son. It's not how strong your faith is. It's how strong the God who makes his promises to you is. And you're coming to God who conquered death. What a great God we serve. And let's say you don't know anything about this Christian life. Wonder what's going on. What if I don't know? The Lord says, if you believe that Jesus Christ came and took your sins away, and you trust that he did that for you, you are saved. So if you're wondering, stop wondering and believe it. If you're online, stop wondering and believe it. If you're here in the pew, stop wondering. Jesus is alive. Every promise that he's ever made is yes. He'll do it. So in Jesus' name, so let us live. Amen.